if they're witches, but you know that's implied.
Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. My name is Chris Jeffa.
And I'm Katie Norgan, and with us today is a fantastic guest who, I don't know if you, hopefully we sound different, because apparently it's very hard to tell us apart visually. We have a comedian, Jackie Hoffert, is here.
Hi, Jackie.
Hello.
It is Hoffert, yes.
Hoffert,
not
yeah.
Hoffart.
No, or my favorite, Amber Harper Young once called me Whorefart. She, every time she sees me now, she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, honestly, it was the best.
That's
I've never gotten that one.
She didn't even do it on purpose, and
no.
It was great.
How did she, she's like, this has got to be it.
No.
I'm sure there's nothing wrong with this.
She explained it, so Fatima was on the show as well. And I think
Dore.
And she was freaking out about not fucking up Dore. And so that then she somehow implanted that reverse impulse, or I don't know what
and
happened.
Then you were the whore fart.
I was the whore fart. Yeah.
It happens to the best of us.
Indeed.
I think you guys sound different, but
yeah.
I...
Well, I'm also sick, so I've dropped a little bit of a...
You've got a bit of a sultry baritone.
Yeah.
It's not baritone. What am I talking about? Sultry tenor. An alto.
Yeah.
Sultry,
it's pretty
alto.
Good.
Whatever, yeah.
Salto.
I don't think we necessarily look alike so much as have made some similar stylistic choices.
And people's imaginations are probably pretty, like, sucky, I guess, if they can't tell you apart. It's like, how many ladies with glasses and short hair?
Yeah.
I think that's actually, okay, before we got on mic, I was talking about a gig that I booked for the end of the week. I'll talk about it more later, but Adam Pateman, my former comedy teacher.
Also mine.
Also yours. Basically recommended me for it as somebody who...
Oh, were you on Katie's show?
My
the
first
showcase. That's where I've seen you before. Yay!
Yep, excellent. That was the
one. You had just come back from, you had driven back into the city in the midst of like a camping weekend or something, and you were very funny. You're just like, well,
here's jokes, maybe.
That was several years ago, but anyway, so it was.
So Adam put me in touch with this guy who's running the show that I'll talk about. Like I said, I'll talk about it later. But
how about
the first,
fucking talk about it now?
I will. Okay. But like for the first 2 or 3 weeks that I knew Adam, he kept calling me Jackie. Basically, it's just like Jackie. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Nope.
We're like
still
we're both white with short hair, although your hair is much more like
fluorescent,
literally colorful.
Yes.
But
we do have almost identical glasses though.
Similar glasses and we both sort of read queer on a very like
serious
level. Very automatic.
Usually
level.
Wearing some sort of humorous sweater of some kind. You were wearing one that says
clothing.
Sad songs today.
Exactly.
Solid says it's just sad songs.
Sad songs.
Very
yeah.
good.
Jackie has feelings sometimes.
Thank you.
And that's okay. It's okay. It's okay
I'm
to have
24/7
feelings.
Feelings party.
I am now like full into campaign mode, so it's not okay to have feelings unless they're pumped up optimism.
Pep rally, go!
That's where
orange.
I'm at. I was at a huge pep rally today. It was awesome. But so I'm just...
Which you have to say.
Yeah. And I'm actually, like, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid hardcore, you guys.
You got
it. So...
Good.
I'm Orange Crush all the way, baby. It's
like,
happening.
Yeah, like we'd suddenly switch gears. Like, go green!
Fuck the greens. Oops.
You gotta take that out.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. They need to.
But if Elizabeth May hears this, she's gonna send
then
someone after us.
I have a few choice words to say
Liz
to her.
Liz May is gonna have my legs broke.
Yeah, I have a few choice words to say to her about certain policies.
And then she'll
she
give
has.
Me homeopathy to fix my broken legs.
And then won't let you have an abortion.
Damn it! How am I gonna raise a baby with these broken legs?
Take
these broken legs!
No!
Wow.
Sorry.
That got dark really fast.
Yeah.
No, please. Not even close to our record.
Yeah, but like everyone on my campaign team is just like so full of energy because our candidate is so full of energy and she parties hard and pushes us hard. So I've had like quite a week basically after we last recorded at your place in New West. I like.
After which we got pretty blasty.
Yeah. But it was fun, and we danced,
so
and it was great. Oh, we need to say that the Union Jack Pub in New Westminster is a great hang.
It's a sweet hang,
it's
everybody.
It's a sweet hang if you want to hang out with, like, all the, like, well-established queers in New West, I guess. Like,
it's not a queer bar at all, but there were, like, five obvious lesbians there.
Like,
out of, like
elder statesman lesbians.
Like
they just,
elegant, Elder Butch lesbians.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I might know them.
My favorite. Probably.
One of them definitely looked like her name was Pam or Barb or something like that. Like, you know, just like one syllable.
Love a good Pam.
And her exhalations would sound like this.
Yeah, she was which, wonderful. Yeah. There was one woman that was dressed so dapper in a beautiful suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Okay. And then this lovely, like, older trans lady, like, hung out with us for a tiny bit. She was just like, I'm gonna leave now that the cool girls are leaving. And we're like, we're the cool girls. It's like, so God,
we should always party in New West where we're the coolest people.
I had a similar feeling yesterday when I was volunteering at this women's cask beer festival thing in Poco, which I confused with Pomo, because I'm like, it's Poe, it's not in Vancouver. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Post-Coquitlam.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, it's so Coquitlam, it's post-Coquitlam.
Pretty much. And so it was a bar in the middle of nowhere, and it was a, yeah, it was like a ton of craft breweries had their women brewers make special beers, whether or not they were the head brewer or whatever. So there were all these kind of one-off beers, but also, yeah, just sort of like, it was a sold-out event at this weird giant pub, and then there were tons of, I don't know, at first I was sort of grumpy about it because I was sick and didn't really want to be there or whatever, but it's like, for my partner, so I was like,
nice,
I'll show up and be a good sport. And
that's how you feed your relationship.
It is, yeah, you have to go
you
places.
Schlep when you're sick when and you're don't sick. Want to.
Yeah, exactly. To be fair, I, like, bailed after 5 hours to,
that's
like,
a long time. Not a bail at that point. Yeah, you were just done.
I was like, you're good.
Yeah, I was like, pulled the ripcord and went to like nap in the car for 2 more hours. But
aww, yeah, it's adorable.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But anyway, there were all kinds of queers and like women of all sizes, and I was like, oh, the burbs, like it's where real people live.
Nice.
But then on the SkyTrain on the way home, there was like a guy who asked me and my partner if we were sisters, and I was like, this is why I don't live in the burbs. Although, I suppose that could happen anywhere.
Yeah. You guys sisters, even though you're holding hands and kissing on the train.
That's so nice that you have such a close relationship with your sister.
Yeah. I, you know, in those moments you feel so threatened. So, of course, like, I don't, my typical reaction is more flight than fight. But
Yes.
I'm trying to learn how to be a little bit more
assertive
slash aggressive in those moments, because typically, I mean, frankly, typically you're dealing with someone who's got some kind of mental health issue or whatever, and you don't want to like accelerate.
Well,
you're
in an enclosed space. They talk to strangers on public transit, so obviously something is not quite right with them.
Basically, we were sitting, in the lower mainland, but we're sitting next to each other, and then he comes and sits in front of us, and then he just sort of, he catches my eye, and then he looks at me, and then he looks at my partner, and he's like, basically eye raping us, like he's staring at us back and forth and back and forth, and it's like extremely terribly uncomfortable immediately. Mm. And then he's like, you guys sisters? And it just, I don't know, the first thing that occurred to me to say was like, you got a problem? And he was like, for some reason, something about that, he was like, nope. And he just sort of pretty much turned around and pretty much left us
alone.
Well
played. Subtle.
Four words. Yeah, I would have like, thank God that worked.
I know. Yeah. Well, I immediately got eyes on the, like, security button, because I was like, if this escalates, I will not hesitate to call.
You just have to text, what is it, 877-7777 to...
That was so many sevens. I think it's, like, 8577777 or something like that. I should know. I, like, worked with the transit police, and now I'm like, I shouldn't have worked with them.
Transit narc.
Transit pigs. Oh. A cab, you know, which I thought meant assigned cop at birth. I was very confused. It actually means all cops are bastards. Sorry to my cousin who is an RCMP officer,
That's fine.
Is a bastard.
We already gave him a chance to choose not to be a cop one of our other podcasts. He can choose to quit his job, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I was like, I'm sorry, Vicky. That's my cousin who's married to him. She's very
nice.
She
can choose not to be married to
him. Oh my God, Vicky, please don't be mad at me. Don't listen to this. Why would you? You have things to do.
But I like that. I would have been tempted to make a Scissor Sisters joke.
See, I don't go to humor right away, because I just feel like that's too, I don't know, it's too comfortable. I don't know. Later, I was like, you know, the first thing that occurred to me was like, it would have been better to say, like, kind of like I'm sisters with your mom, you know, or like, do you do this with your sister and then make out with my fiance?
But then he'd be like, sometimes.
Yeah, it's very and like asking him to be gross and also performing. Like I would have never actually.
Yeah, what
done
if
that,
you get? But... What if you got all like super into it too? That's awkward.
Yeah, sisters kissing.
So
there's along with my twin cest fanfic.
I know there's a lot of videos that are all, you know, mom and stepdaughter or like sisters. Yeah. Like why is that a thing? It in shouldn't
the,
be a thing
in the pornographic vein.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. But okay. Whenever I say
these videos,
whenever I say like I saw this video, it's always porn. You know, that's a secret.
Do you know
lexicon.
They have these videos online where you can go and people are in flagrante? That's a
do
phrase.
Tell.
That's a phrase people do not use enough. I think. Let's bring back the early 60s sexual, like, ooh, we're sideways referring to this. Ooh, flagrante.
Sideways referring sounds like a sex act.
It is.
Sideways referring to
making
that.
Making the beast with two backs.
Ugh, I don't like that one. That one just sounds like a Dracula film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's always a problem for you, right? You don't like a Dracula film.
I love a Dracula film.
It's stupid. It's like a Dracula film, which is your favorite thing. There you go, not stupid.
Shit. Hey, just because it's my favorite thing doesn't mean it's not stupid. I like a lot of bad shit.
Yeah, you've been watching The Vampire Diaries.
I sure have. Oh, man. I migrated away from The Vampire Diaries because the new season of The Get Down was on, and it's so good, and I watched the whole thing really fast.
Some
it was
funky
so
musics.
Amazing.
Mm, yeah. I fell off The Get Down about halfway through.
Did
not...
you get down off of it?
Sorry.
Now we have to get up. Back up on that thing. No,
get
I'm,
up off of that thing.
That's the thing.
Dance
that I was
until you feel better.
Yeah, I'm very nerdy.
You're very tired, also.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's very, like, but loose it's, energy.
That's all we got, but.
Sorry, were you expecting a professional
show? We don't have any tight production or anything. Yeah, no, very loosey-goosey here.
I like how all of this also fits on the porn topic. Like, loose energy.
Yeah.
Tight topics.
Tight. So you went to a John Horgan rally.
I mean, it was awesome. That's
cool,
all.
Yeah. It was all over my Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, it just shows you, like, I was trying to, like, invite folks to that, and I wound up inviting, like, everyone on my Facebook list that lives in Vancouver, because I'm like, I actually am not friends with anyone that doesn't agree with this.
Yep.
I've weeded them out successfully, I've noticed, so I'm pretty stoked about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, also, I mean, it's just an invite.
Exactly. I mean,
people invite people to everything. Like,
yeah.
Exactly. It's cool.
I know. But it was just like, I'm judicious when it comes to my editing. I already said that off mic. Mm-hmm. I'm a judicious editor, but I can't say the word anymore. A judicious Facebook friend inviter, too, because I don't want to spam people.
Of course.
So if I invite you to a thing, it's an important thing.
Mm. Yeah.
And they sold out the Commodore. They, like, made it to capacity, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say sold out because it was free. But we packed the Commodore, and it was really fun.
It's
I had
awesome.
A good time. I haven't really been to, like, a fun pep rally like that before.
Cool.
And you feel good about the campaign. Does it make you feel better about the campaign when you go to those things?
Yeah,
you feel
absolutely.
The energy of everybody
then,
in there?
Yeah, because then
the
you kind
energy.
Of...
energy?
you feel like you've got a team,
yeah.
And it's not just... Because I've been kind of alone in our campaign office and being like... People, come work with me, come do stuff. Mm. But then it's like I knock on doors. That's all I've been doing all week. I've been knocking on doors like 2-3 hours a day, like with my sneakers on, and I'm delivering signs and I'm chatting with folks, and most people are pretty positive and they're like, time to get Christy Clark out of here.
Yeah.
And it was just nice to feel like the whole energy of the room. And so I feel very buoyed up
that's
in my
great.
Soul. And because I cannot not be optimistic, because otherwise I would not be able to do my job
if
I was feeling cynical. I made a small cynical comment today about, like, photographs about things or something, and someone was just like, don't talk like that in here, because we need to just keep it going, otherwise, like...
We're happy, smiling!
If we get despondent, then you'll lose momentum, and it's like, it just actually felt like everyone was, like, on board, and it felt good. My soul is also buoyed up because I played an amazing house concert last night.
Yeah,
with,
talk about that.
Our lovely dear friend, past guest Erin, and our friend Tanya. It's her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of people played. She sort of had like an open mic at this beautiful house. And so my friend, past guest Allison, and hopefully future guest Adam, played a 10-minute-long Elton John medley.
Ooh.
And it was fantastic.
Did they do that?
That's what we started with, babe.
Of course.
You know it.
Yeah.
That's my favorite Elton John song is Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Mm. Where the dogs of society.
I'm always like, whoa! I like that part a lot. And I don't really love Elton John.
It was really fun. I learned the song Philadelphia Freedom because I never knew it. And we sang it like a gospel song. It was really fun.
That would have been great.
And then I slept over because this house has this beautiful covered porch with a fireplace in it.
What?
Yeah.
Wait,
and like,
how does that work? Fireplace and covered porch?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I can't explain how it works. There's
Is it enclosed entirely or?
No, it's open on either side, but it's covered over top and there's a chimney that goes through and like a little fire thing.
Beautiful.
And so I smell like campfire today and like I slept over there on the porch with our friend Aaron. We just brought our sleeping bags and like, and the rain was pounding on the plastic roof. And so I just like, we stayed up till 4 a.m. writing songs like very quietly outside to not wake the neighbors. And this like lovely classical guitar player named Enrico, who's in his 60s, lay on my lap with his white hair, like, spread all over me and just, like, played guitar.
See,
and
that
then,
doesn't sound appealing to me.
I know, but I like it. And he was just, he's a very nice, gentle soul, a very talented musician, and he just played chords. And then myself and Aaron and Tanya just, like, harmonized, like, sirens surrounding him. And
which, of course, you are.
It was really nice.
Did you have a
good
sleep?
Like, I had a great sleep outside in the fresh air with the rain pounding and the fireplace. And
oh, nice, lovely.
Basically, I just feel fantastic.
Like you went
today.
To one-night summer camp, kind of.
Yeah.
And got rejuvenated.
It was super nice.
I love how it came back to Elton John, though, because this is also an Elton John song.
Sad song?
Songs
of course.
Say so much.
They do.
I actually realized
like,
that
I'm sad.
I realized that I don't know a lot of Elton John songs, which is funny. I only know a couple. Mm-hmm. And so I learned some more for this medley because there was like 8 songs in there.
I really don't know that many. I know Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Crocodile Rock, Candle in the Wind, which feels like a cheap one. Benny and the Jets. Mm-hmm. Pretty much it.
Your song, you know your
song.
Yeah. I actually
you know Hold Me Closer, Tiny Dancer.
I think I also could probably go, I'm not so great at sort of title recitation, but I feel very comfortable with Elton John's catalog. But for me, weirdly, it's tightly associated with Super Mario World, because... So,
Please explain.
Yeah.
So the same year that my sister and I got a Super Nintendo for Christmas was the year that my mom got a four CD box thing of Elton John's songs, so we were allowed to listen, we were allowed to play our game on mute when mom was listening to her thing, so she was listening to that like the entire Christmas break, and we were playing Mario the entire Christmas break, so I totally associate.
That's really cute to me. I don't know.
Really cute.
That made me have some sincere nostalgia for my mom's record collection.
That made me think of like what, you know, records that are very, very connected to childhood. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, but just like doing dishes at my cabin in the summer to Katie Lang's Ingenue and Shadowland were like two big records.
Tell me why you're gay again.
I'm not gay. I'm like only mostly gay.
I've made both of you do spit takes. I'm on fucking fire.
You are.
You guys,
you've
I love
been,
it.
You just like all juiced up from working constantly, like working 6-day weeks.
I'm
knocking
amazing.
On doors.
I'm unstoppable.
No one can stop you except like maybe the common cold or something like that.
I will not get sick until after the campaign.
No.
Nope. This is something that's happening.
No, I mean you're doing well so far because it's been going on for a bit now and it's what are we halfway through just about?
Yeah, 2 more weeks, man.
Fuck, Canada's so much better, hey? Even the midterms in the States go on for ages and ages and ages, and now we're just like, 1 month, that's it, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Suck a dick.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's how elections work.
Yeah, you can basically vote or suck a dick. I'll vote,
or,
I think.
Or do both.
Or do both.
If you're into that.
Yeah.
If you so desire.
You don't have to. It's fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
But you can.
I'm sure someone would like it.
Yeah, absolutely someone would like it. You said you saw sweet, handsome Charlie Damaris at the rally that you went to today.
He's a very much a political person.
He's extraordinarily political.
And yeah, we've been chatting a little bit because my boss went and visited something to do with the animation thing, Beat Bugs, that he was on.
All right.
So then I sent him that. I was like, hey, look, like, you know, this person came and saw your thing, and then I saw him at the rally today, and I was like, hey, you live in our neighborhood, do you want to come and volunteer? And yeah, he was like, absolutely, and so he like gave me a big hug, which was really nice. He was just like, Chris, like, and I'm like, I just wanted to meet face-to-face, and he's like, right, okay, I know who you are, big hugs, and I was like, that's awesome.
He seems like he'd be a very good hugger.
Yeah,
he's got like a good hug bot.
He went in for the hug immediately. I was very surprised. He was like, hi, hugs. I was like, I would never presume. I never want to hug anybody.
But you'd always accept a hug from Charlie freaking Mears.
I would always accept a hug Yeah, from a kind person that I think is nice, rather than, like, a rando stranger. I've gotten lots of random hugs from people in the last little while.
You just sort of, firmly tolerated it? Like,
Yeah.
Or you just go stiff, or do you say no thanks?
I try to high-five them instead to do the intercept, where they go in for the big hug, and I'm like, yeah, right on, high-five. Because a lot of very nice, well-meaning, lovely volunteers who are very sweet, but I just don't want to hug every person. Yeah. Yeah.
I tolerate a lot of hugs I don't want. I do like hugs from people that I am at least acquainted with.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, but Jackie, if you were to hug me, I'd be like, this is fine and great.
Yeah.
But if I could give, like, a number of named examples, but I shan't.
Yes.
Yeah. Very rude.
But so, so I was just basically like, you know what I want to do is get Charlie Demers on the doorstep with a whole bunch of candidates and some swing ridings, because he's funny and charming and well-spoken.
Oh, so funny, so charming.
And it would be great. So I have plans to deploy our comedian friends. Hey, what are you guys doing in the next couple of weeks?
I guess probably volunteering with Judy fucking Darcy.
You should!
It's so close to my house.
Do data really entry.
I will.
Okay.
I keep saying that just to put her off. I'm not actually going to do it.
I'm going to check up on you.
I know you will.
You need to help. It's your civic duty.
It's more like civic duty.
Like, you have to vote, but, like, you should help out.
Okay.
It's good.
Might help out a little bit.
The only reason that, like, I can get into the whole pitch, but I promised I wouldn't on the podcast, but, like...
Well, when are you planning for this to come out?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Literally tomorrow.
Yeah. We're trying to really just get him in there because we don't want to miss a week, even despite the campaign.
Yeah, we could have easily taken a hiatus. It would have been totally legit.
But I refuse. I'm so stubborn
about
this.
She's committed.
It's great.
But
so we're putting out some very substandard episodes as well. This one's going to be the best.
This one's good.
I was going to say, I'm like, thanks.
No.
our drunk sleepover from last week.
Yeah, and I apologize that I'm dominating the conversation. I will be finished in a moment. But fundraising sucks and no one likes to give money, and the liberals are super, super rich, and so we need people power, man. We need boots on the ground and fingers on some keyboards. Tack it, tack, tack,
whoa.
Tack.
I didn't know where you were going with
fingers
that.
Fingers on what?
Fingers on the pulse. I mean, my hair is literally bright orange, so I feel like I'd be a good... Can I go to the polls with this hair?
Of course.
You can't be wearing, like, NDP garb, though, can you?
Yeah, they can't tell what you're... whatever.
Yeah, that's fine.
You should come and knock on doors with me just for fun in our super safe... Like, it's a fun neighborhood, and everyone likes the NDP, and so then when you knock on the doors, people are like, yay, hooray, and it's lovely. And then you and I can actually hang out, because I haven't seen you in forever, and we can't...
We hung out a week ago! We had a sleepover!
It's a really long time to not see you, and normally we talk on GChat every day, and I can't because I'm so busy.
Yeah.
And so I, like, actually, like, my heart misses you very
much. Oh, okay, fuck, fine. Just twist my goddamn arm, why don't you? I'll do my darndest.
Is your candidate an incumbent? Or
yes.
I know you're not supposed to say this, but are you feeling pretty confident about re-election?
Yeah, I'll write down the candidate's name.
Yeah. I'm sure from context clues our podcast listeners can fucking figure it out.
Yeah, that's the same person from my district.
Yeah.
Cool person.
Yeah. Very cool.
So, you should totally come and do that with me. It's fun to have company. Yay, you're going to do it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Maybe I can do it on Thursday. We'll talk.
All I need is for you to...
Is the air that you breathe to love me?
Yes.
Yeah.
All I need for you is to, like, hold a sign, and I'll do all the talking.
Fine.
And you just stand there and look fucking cool.
Yeah, okay.
So.
I can do that. Do you want me to flex?
Yes, I do. Every day, every
flex
moment, I want you to flex.
Well, if we're gonna go
never
up,
relax.
If
just
we go
always
up commercial
be
drive or something, I'm just gonna have to flex to get all the ladies to vote.
Your
you
sleeves
know?
Are not far up enough for me to really appreciate your muscles.
Here we go.
Whoa!
They're not that impressive visually, but you know they used to be really wimpy. So it's really
this is a podcast. They were amazing.
They were giant.
Yeah.
Theater of the mind.
Exactly.
Speaking of theater,
we were talking
about Charlie. We'll get to you in a minute, Jackie. Be patient.
We're such assholes. Like, full disclosure, it's like 8 p.m. on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
And you're sick, and we're just talking completely
over
you.
But you gave me a beer.
Yep.
So I'm okay.
I'll get you another one.
I may take you up on that.
So you saw Charlie today. I saw Charlie yesterday at his album recording.
Mm-hmm.
He did Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the Comedy Mix, and did two shows a night, I guess. And we saw him the early show last night. And he was in fine form. My God, it was funny.
Hooray.
He is such a funny dude. And when I made my reservation...
One of our greatest treasures.
I really want to get him on the pod at some point, which probably happen.
By our powers combined, Katie.
It should be possible. So ordered my reservation while I was stoned. And very stoned. I think I did it on 420, actually. And so I went to tech, made my reservation, because you don't have to pay when it's not, like, a super fancy, famous comedian from, like, LA or whatever. So I just made my reservation. It's like, any additional comments? I'm like, tell Charlie I love him! I just wrote in the box, and then I showed up to, like, claim my tickets. They're like, oh, so you feel very strongly about Mr. Damaris, do you?
Oh, God.
I was like, oh, boy, I may have been stoned when I wrote that. They're like, yeah, don't worry, we told him.
Oh, no!
So I had to tweet, like, oops, I did this thing, and now I'm in jail. So now I'm in jail, so that's what I did.
You nerd.
I'm a big nerd. Other than that, I don't really have anything to say this week, apart from that I did a rehearsal for a show that I'm going to do on Friday that I was joking about coming in. Like, I was not informed that it was so heavy on improv before signing up for
that's
it.
That's great, though. You don't need to prepare, you just need to
show
up.
Oh, I still have to do a stand-up set.
To show up and
like,
be present and yes exactly. And everything.
It was really, I haven't done improv in, like, 2 to 3 years, so, and that was one class, and I haven't done it since then. I used to do it in high school a fair bit.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. Of course I did. Just like you were, of course you were in high school band, of course I did improv. Yeah. You did improv too, didn't you?
No.
No, Hillary did. That was right. That's who we talked to. And, yeah, it was just like, oh god, I have to, like, because I don't really like improv, really. Like, I don't like watching it necessarily.
It's fun to do, though.
And it is fun to do, but I'm also like, fuck, I wouldn't want to watch this. So I'm just very self-conscious the whole time. But the other people who are on the show are all very experienced,
well, that's
like.
The best possible circumstance. Because the worst kind of improv is shitty people at improv.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And but, I like, mean, when they just leave you hanging and leave each other hanging.
Well, no,
like,
I mean, I feel like the experience for me that I don't like about watching improv is where you can visually experience someone not listening to something someone else is offering someone else.
That
where,
is so
where
true.
You're just like, you could just move with this, but you're probably panicking.
You're not yes-anding.
Well, you're not present, you know, which is of course easier said than done, but the truth is you're not, you know, the more you sublimate your like need to be the star of the show, the better it goes, I think.
I don't know how I'm gonna handle that.
You're a good team player.
Just yes, I am.
I was gonna make a meaner comment about how you'll just let anyone do whatever.
Didn't I say that in the car? Pretty much it's just like, yeah, I don't really have strong opinions about things. I just let people do what they want.
So you're probably actually really good at improv.
What if I'm so good at improv?
No.
What if I'm like the best at improv? That would be so upsetting.
That means I'm going to have to go to improv shows now to support you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Depending on what kind of stand-up shows you go to, it can also be a
that's true.
A
I have slog. Gone to open mics with you, and it was horrible.
Yeah, I feel like there should be a special kind of, like,
a friend award for friends who go to open mics.
Why didn't I cash that in? Instead of just convincing you to do door canvassing with me, I was like, I went to that fucking open mic at the 12 Kings with you.
It was like a year and a half ago!
It was really bad, and I still haven't gotten over it. I went there to have a drink, and I had, like, a flashback.
Oh, my God. We could just, like, yell things that we've done for each other, and it could be very amusing. Like, I went to your dad's funeral with
you. That's true. You definitely did that.
You don't even like him!
Okay, I was like, whoa, like, that's...
Trust me, I'm not going to say something that outrageous, that knowing I was just going to react. Which is laugh. Which is laugh very hard.
Okay, you fucking win.
I mean, you'd come to mine, hopefully, but you also like my dad.
Yeah, so. I do, very much. I think he's wonderful. Yeah. John, you're so nice.
Live forever, please. Thank you.
Live forever.
Work on it.
Oh,
so,
my fucking sweet
so
Jesus.
That pretty much catches us up. Yeah. Jackie, what's your week been like?
Interesting.
Bleeding from the knee.
You talk about
cold.
The beer thing. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm working right now at Doxa, which is part of the reason why I can't get super involved with the election, because Doxa runs May 4th to 14th, so...
It's very bad timing for a documentary film festival. Our audiences are overlapping. The most politically engaged are probably the most involved in documentaries as well. So if you're stealing my voters,
no, well,
I might have to come and get
you. It's more like the voters are going to steal from our really great documentaries happening on them. We actually thought about... I think we can't quite make this work, but I was thinking we should do... Because there's a really... Let me just go ahead and plug one. There's
a really
amazing documentary playing on Election Day that I think we should give people essentially free tickets to if they show up with an I voted sticker. And it's
smart.
It's called Ada for Mayor, and it's about the mayor of Barcelona, who was like a housing activist.
Excuse
who
me. Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Yeah. Penelope.
I just had to be insufferable at you.
I love Spain. Yeah. I truly do.
I know. Yes. It's about... a woman who is a housing activist and runs for mayor of Barcelona. And
on la tabla.
Gracias.
De nada. And I took Spanish 100.
A Spanish person comes out of the microphone and slaps us all in a round. Steve Venegas. Just...
No, it's your 60-year-old Harry.
Enrico.
Enrico.
Harry. His long, flowing white hair, excuse
yeah.
me.
Sorry, I should, yeah, and also be careful, yeah, anyway. But,
Enrico Iglesias.
what's been up for me? Anyway, yeah, so Ada for Mayor, that'll be great.
Sounds awesome. It's playing throughout the whole...
No, it's a film festival, so typically things get one, maybe two screenings.
I
so
don't know how festivals
yeah. So Doxa is a documentary film festival. There are 88 films playing Ooh. Over 10 days, 11 days. And, you know, there's a lot of really great ones. Lots very political. I mean, Docs is sort of pretty social justice oriented, so nice. There's a ton of
SJW.
There's a ton of, but also pretty like weird too. So there's lots of sort of strange cinephile kind of ones, but also kind of more whatever. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know. I'm, you know, there's sort of docudramas and First Nation stuff and environmental stuff. And,
cool.
Yeah. Check it out.
Well, then, you're working on. I like that idea of, like, go treat yourself to a delicious brain nugget or something totally. At the documentary, and then, like, and then go vote, and then come back and get, like, another reward. That would be lovely.
Exactly.
I think that would be lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of cool stuff to check out.
It's probably not that far from a polling station, either.
It's true. The district electoral offices are places that you can vote for anyone at anywhere. So if there's something near one of your venues, people could totally vote there. Or just go do it in your home community because your voting place is probably only a couple blocks from you. I try to make it pretty accessible.
I'm going to go next weekend so that I don't have to worry about it during the fest.
Advance polls start on April 29th.
Exactly. Perfect.
So since this is coming out on Monday, it's Saturday, Sunday.
Exactly.
Vote the shit out of it.
Vote the shit out of it.
I'm going to vote so hard for Judy Darcy that my head's going to spin.
Good.
She's cool as hell.
I worked for BC elections during the last one.
Oh.
Just because I was, like, as always, sort of a random... weirdly employed person, and so
it's nice to get a short little contract like
exactly
that, for
plus
sure.
It pays pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked the whole advance polls at the Mount Pleasant Library.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed by how few people were there, but and of course we know how that went.
Mm-hmm. If you don't show up, shit goes bad.
Yeah,
that was back in 2013.
Yep,
I guess so.
I was in Hawaii when those results came in. It really put a big old duty on our honeymoon because we were really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Real sad.
Election duty.
Election duty. Poop, poopy, poop, poop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Sucks.
Can I ask you a question about Doxa?
Sure.
can I ask you a question? Please do. Please pay attention to me. Please talk to me.
No, whatever. Yeah, you can ask me whatever.
Don't steamroll over being a gross person. It's very hot.
It does get toasty.
Yeah. We just, like, all of our temperature went up a few degrees because we finished our beverages. Is this something that you would need more volunteers for in the future or, like, now? Like, because all of these, like, lots of awesome festivals, like film festivals and music festivals always need volunteers.
Definitely.
And then the volunteers get to see some films
Definitely.
And stuff like that. And I'm not particularly a film person or, like, a documentary person, but I would like to learn more and see more, so maybe I should volunteer for some stuff.
Yeah, it's not a
not
bad
this
idea.
One,
yeah.
But the next one.
Yeah. Or, yeah, there's, like, a million festivals you could volunteer mm-hmm. for, but, yeah, we're hugely volunteer-oriented.
Yes.
Did you just take off your sweater to reveal
yes,
a t-shirt
did.
With a graphic of a cat and a baby Bjorn?
Yes, I did!
Wow! Pretty good!
Yeah.
I just wanted to address that for the audience at home.
So on brand?
I know.
It's really incredible.
I'm sorry.
That's amazing.
Sorry.
If only you'd taken off a beer shirt to review that. How many cats do you have?
Two.
That's a reasonable number of cats.
Yeah, two. Well, we're only allowed to have one in our co-op, but...
Oh, you're in a co-op?
Yeah.
Wow, that's unusual.
I know. Yeah, it was the...
You just hope that they only see one cat at a time, that they look light enough alike.
Well, apparently, kind of everyone has two cats, and so
They all need friends.
It's like an open rule. They do need friends. And, I don't know. Yeah. I had one cat, and then he died. So then we got two. Because
that's how math works.
That's how cat math works.
Cat math.
Every cat needs to be replaced by two cats.
Oh, jeez. Like it's a phone tree for cats.
Because you get so attached to the one that in order to fill the hole in your soul, you need to put two in there.
Two kittens, yeah.
Oh, kittens.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have two kittens. Well, they're like they're kittens now. They're 13 months, so they're sort of 75% of their adult size ish right now. So we go through phases of thinking like, oh, you look so grown up, to being like, you're such a baby.
As cat moms.
Yeah. So we resent that they're not that cuddly with us yet, but
they're in their teenage phase where they're like, mom, stop embarrassing me. Totally. Don't try to hug me. Whatever.
Plus we're like those kind of people that have, like insane shelving and like great cool stuff for them to do all the time. Mm. So
they're stimulated. They don't need your love.
They don't need us. Yeah. They're like,
is that what you do with kids too? Just give them enough stuff so that you don't have to love them?
God, one hopes. One hopes that's a good strategy.
I saw this awesome, like a collection of posts of like cats like playing in the box or using the thing wrong of the thing that their like parents got them, where it's like the cat sleeping on top of the little like fuzzy stuffy thing that they're supposed to sleep in, or they're sitting in the box that's in the middle of two beds. Oh, and man. It's just like, why do we even buy cat stuff? And it's like, well, because we need the boxes for them to play in.
Exactly. There's like a specific kind of box at Costco that we get because we're building like slowly building like a condo for them out of multiple layers of
gentrification
boxes.
Of your co-op.
No, in fact, we had to get rid of all of them. But I strongly endorse the little potato boxes from Costco.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Because they've got holes on all sides and they're great for kittens.
That's very, 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 very hot cute, tip. Actually.
I love a kitty.
I've been, definitely getting more. I'm very allergic to animals in general.
Yeah.
That sucks.
And my office has had a lot of dogs come through, and we had a service puppy in training. It was a little golden retriever baby.
Like a PADS puppy or whatever.
Yes, a PADS puppy that our friend is, like, fostering. This cute little puppy in training, and he just like came and slept on our floor, and we weren't allowed to pet him because he was working.
This dog has a job, and you can't interrupt him.
Dogs with jobs. Dogs with jobs. But he slept on the job the whole time.
What a choice, shit dog.
He's in training, Katie.
He's probably unionized.
Oh, shit.
Sick burn, sick burn.
Teamster dog.
Oh, my God. On that note, should we take a quick break and air out the studio?
Yeah, okay. Totally.
So what are your cat's names?
Get back to the important stuff.
Right. So they have full names.
Please.
So,
indulge us.
Gertrude, Frolic, Lovin' Stuff, and Archibald, Tonks, Lovin' Stuff.
Oh.
So we've chosen to recognize their lineage in that they are the second cat family generation of our home. So the previous cat, my former cat who passed away, his name was Mr. Darren Love and Stuff.
Dude, your cat's name was Darren?
So my cat's name... So when I originally...
Cat's name's like a stoner who lives in your basement suite.
What are cats really, though?
Fair enough, honestly.
It's true, yeah.
This cat's such a fucking Darren.
So I adopted him when he was 14, and his name was Mr. Love and Stuff, and I was like, that's too formal. So I made it Mr. Darren Love and Stuff.
Please, Mr. Love and Stuff is my father. Call me Darren.
Exactly. But
so you adopted a super senior cat then.
I did,
14
yeah.
is elderly.
Yeah. I think, because it was my first pet ever, and I think I didn't realize that my sort of whimsical approach, which is like, well, it won't be very much of a commitment, was... foolish.
Oh, so, your heart got so into it.
Yeah, so we fell in love immediately. And then, yeah, he was with me for 3.5 years. He died almost a year ago. And
he's almost 18.
Yeah, exactly. And so he died, and that sucked. And I'm making a documentary about it. And it's called How to Bury a House Cat When You Don't Have a Yard. And,
You figured out how to move on past university and give things titles that are really ridiculous. Yeah.
Thank you. Actually, as a person working at a documentary film festival, I really want all documentary filmmakers to make simpler titles for their movies. Like, not so simple that it's generic and easily confusable with something else, but, like, specific in, like, 3 to 4 words most.
Yeah. Our program is really weird. We have, it's like a fold-out, like, a centerfold, basically. Yeah. You get the whole name one.
I mean, anyway. But, yeah, so they, you know, sort of, he's their sort of grandfather, I guess you could say, even though that doesn't make any sense, really. And, then their middle names are their foster names that they were given. So they're Vokra babies. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Morgan.
Hey, we're big Vokra supporters here on this little...
Hell yeah, Morgan. Hell yeah, Madison.
Yeah.
So Gertrude was Frolic in her original birth situation. And so we've sort of kept that as her middle name. And then, yeah, but Gertie and Archie are basically their names.
Very cute. They're like a old married couple.
Exactly, yeah.
They're very young and siblings.
Yes. Yeah. Are you guys sisters? Are you guys
siblings? Well, the weird thing is that they're not actually siblings. So they're from different litters, but they were born a few days apart. And so we had to get them, we had to get Archie.
So wait, are they married?
I mean, no.
Have you had a cat wedding for them yet? No. And can I play cello at your cat's wedding?
Yes.
Yes, you're like, yes, but I'm not playing for that. Cat Trobel's canon.
Come on. Katie, the joke was Pachelbel's cat, man.
Is that better, Chris?
No, maybe not.
So now as punishment, you have to play Pachelbel's canon at this cat wedding.
Fuck. No!
At least it's easy. You can do it in your sleep.
But I'll play it, but only the cello part, and there will be no other strings, so it's just me playing the same 8 notes 56 times in a row. Everyone else can hum the parts that they like. You're hired.
You have to do it all in
meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, like, we're relieved that they're both, that they're fixed. Mm-hmm.
They're, like, stepbrother and stepsister, like, Sharon the Paul Rudd and Clueless or whatever. Oh.
Writing a V.C. Andrews book for Cat. V.Cat Andrews book.
The C is for Cat.
The C is for Cat. Kittens in the Attic. I'm so sorry, everybody. I'm sorry for everyone who got that reference and for everyone who didn't get that reference. Because the people who got it were like, ew. The people who didn't were like, what? So it was for no one.
It's the most alienating joke for nobody.
Yes, exactly. No one liked it. I'll show myself out.
It's still no open mic.
You really don't like open mics, hey?
This is the thing. Like, it's very hard to sort of develop your craft if you really just pretty much totally hate going to open mics. I don't totally hate all open mics, but I really dislike most of them.
Yeah, I make myself go to stand up and deliver a lot because I like Ed Konya a lot.
I like Ed. Yeah, Ed's been supportive of me. Yeah, but I prefer to go to the one on Davey that they just started. Although it's also pretty punishing, to be honest.
I had a really fun time there. I might go. No, I think I might go to do Benny's this week. I think I might go to
Keith's. I've been only once or twice.
Benny's and the bagels.
I'm just also lazy. So for me, it's like, I live in Gastown, so if I can just get somewhere that's sort of
Like, I'm so lazy. And then I complain about it to people, and they always end up inevitably complaining to people who live in Surrey instead of New Weston. Mm. And they're like, I have no sympathy for you. Like, Maddie Vu and Sanong are like, no sympathy. None. Yeah.
Fuck Maddie.
Fuck Maddie?
No, just kidding. Maddie's my, like, comedy boyfriend.
We love him.
Oh, Maddie's all of our comedy boyfriends. So sweet. Or girlfriend, I don't know. Whatever. Mm. He looks really good in some plaid. He's got that soft, ambiguous face. He knows how to play it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love him.
Yeah, no, Maddie and I were in the same stand-up class together with Adam, and then we were also in the same improv class together.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we adore him. He's been on the show before. Mm-hmm. And will be again, goddammit. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I guess if, yeah,
but I don't feel sorry for him because he drives. So fuck that.
Yeah.
I don't drive.
Well, so do you, Katie.
So do I. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, fuck you forever. Fuck me forever. You have no excuses.
I do whine about it a lot, and I just don't like getting up early after staying up late, so... I don't have to do it very often.
You should probably quit your job then.
I'm just really, honestly, I'm just very lazy. The thing is if I don't plan it right and I don't have the momentum, I just don't do it. Like the last few months I've been doing better. Mm. I've been making sure I'm up at least once a week, but hopefully twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully that's my goal too. As long as you sort of stay, this last week was my only week where I didn't have any shows but I sort of planned it that way. And then I also sort of weirdly, unfortunately got sick during it. In that week, and so...
You let your guard down.
I let my guard down, yeah. So
I gotta just start asking people for sets again. I've stopped doing that for a while.
Oh, I see. Like, I mostly just do that, so... And I do it, like, in a month, or, like, in 2 months, and then it just comes up so fast. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I'm so popular, but it's just that, like, I have patience.
I like to inflate my importance in other people's life and assume people don't like me when really they just don't care. And they probably would be very happy to put a woman on their show.
Life. Yeah.
Because they're like, bah! I don't know how.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Let me fix that for you.
It's hard to resist the joke every once in a while to be like, I'm the woman on the show, which I frequently am, and I will also say it.
I've done that a few times. Like, one time Adam Pateman asked me to, I think his headliner dropped out for the showcase, was like, fuck, I need somebody. Katie's online, let's talk to her. I'm really not being kind about this, but like, but he's like, I know this is very last minute, but can you come and do a set tonight? I was like, yep. He's like, great.
You're actually reliable. And that I'm goes very a long reliable. Way, so that people, is. As now a new volunteer coordinator, I'm just like, the people that are reliable and that show up
without being paid
and have like a good attitude about it. And it's just like, yeah, I can come now. Or it's like, no, I can't. But like, hit me up again next time. Like, they're the go-tos. And so that's who you think of immediately. Yeah. Right. Yeah, so it's like both of you. It's just like,
that's probably why he offered me for this.
Yeah.
Spot.
It's like, we know that you're reliable.
Give yourself some credit. I mean, it's not just reliable.
And I'm pretty
you're
funny.
Also really funny. I know, but I'm trying to be pregnant.
I'm like relatively funny. I don't know how funny I am yet, but getting there. And I got to come and like do a set after his first timers crew, like you did for mine. And I was the only person there. So I was like, well, I guess I'm headlining, quote unquote. Yeah. So I got out there as if I was headlining. I was I picked up the mic and I just got out. Everybody was very attentive. I was like, oh no, it's a woman. Because it had been only men on stage up until point. It was a total sausage fest class.
Funny.
And the whole audience just erupted into laughter. And from that point on, I was like, I'm good. I've got it. It's great. Sometimes it's good to pander like that.
It's true. Are you in touch with anyone else that was in your class? Because I remember being at your show thinking, oh, there's so many women.
Alana.
So many
Alana. The gal who did the bit about her nephew finding out about his penis. And
I
he
don't
was
really
like,
remember anything.
Okay. Well, she came and was like, oh, my little nephew discovered his penis the other day. So 14's going to be a really good year for him. that's good. Thanks, sweetie. I'm getting some wine for the home listener. And,
you don't have to say it
yes,
on
I do.
Podcast.
Yes, I do. I
well,
have
then
to
fine.
Every
time. I'll stop trying to cloak glug, the glug, Foley. Glug.
And so she's still doing comedy, and she's been a guest on the podcast talking about the human larynx, because she's been doing... The reason she hasn't been performing a lot is because she's been doing like a 18-month grad program about speech pathology. Mm-hmm. Oh. But apart from that, and Brandon, I guess, is... No, he was from my second one. He's the beautiful gay boy with perfectly manicured eyebrows. Perfect.
Wasn't there that there was that like awesome that. There was that one woman that I saw her on a storytelling show. So I think she's gone more like storytelling.
Joe? No.
Maybe?
No, not Joe. Not Joe,
but who was in your class?
My second one or my first one?
I don't remember.
Because my second one there was like an older lady named Frankie who was on it. No, it wasn't her. Don't know then. Oh, yeah. Jess? Maybe. I don't know.
Well, this is great content.
This is super, super good. We could just delete
that. What about so-and-so? I'll be judicious about it later if I decide that it sucks.
You're like, whatever, leave it in. Leave that hot,
you guys would ask me, like, really weird questions about my life.
Oh, hey, we will. We got time, girl.
Try me.
Well, okay.
What was that like?
Try. Okay, what do we got? We're like, on a scale of 1 to Katie Lang, how gay are you? Etheridge.
No. I mean, I am from Alberta, but I'm not vegetarian, so...
You're not a big bone gal from southern Alberta?
I am, although I'm from Saskatchewan originally.
But, oh, okay.
But I mostly grew up in Alberta. So by nature, I sort of rejected Katie Lang and Melissa Etheridge and everything that had anything to do with them because I was
you need to survive Alberta.
Yeah, I was. I grew up in a Lutheran background, which is like the most Catholic Christian. If you're not familiar,
it's very it's very German and terse. And,
yeah.
And... But it's like, do you have the whole like host? Like transubstantiation, like confirmation, and that kind of stuff.
Confirmation, or like, yeah.
Chris got like touched by the Pope twice, so.
I mean, we don't. Yeah, we make fun of Catholics and the Pope in the sense of the there being like a God on Earth or whatever type person, but the. And I should be clear that this is all in the past.
You're not currently a hardcore Lutheran.
No. I'm no longer a hardcore Catholic, and I never was. But I definitely had to do some of
but
that.
But you do like velvet and candles, so.
Fuck yeah, who doesn't?
It's certainly my
Catholic
cultural
is basically
upbringing.
Witchcraft, it's fine.
Yeah, I love
bells
it.
Bells and smells.
Candles, so many candles, too, yeah. Incense and
bells and right? smells. But yeah, Lutheran, nice, good,
Yeah, very, you know...
Self-denial.
Dreary and quiet and gay is bad and all that stuff.
Right,
so
just keep it inside. Don't tell inside. Anybody.
Yeah. So I didn't come out until I was like second year university in Vancouver. So
you kind of got, 20, it was like 21. Getting into a nice warm
I'd
bath and you were kind of getting.
A small number of dicks before I came realized I was like, like not interested.
No, thank you.
I don't understand what people liked about it. So that was.
Like, no, it's like black licorice. I guess some people like it, but it's not for me.
Yeah, it's like cilantro. Some people just have the gene. No.
Yeah, I think that's
wow,
right.
This just tastes like dick.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, like, that's why I love, like, eat a bag of dicks. I'm like, meow, grab.
No thanks. I've tried it.
That is a good punishment. Ah.
Yeah. Although, weirdly, I feel like a bag of dicks is, like, actually something lesbians have.
Yeah. So. like a fucking farmer's market tote bag of dicks.
Sticking out like baguettes.
Of non-BPA, phthalate-free dicks.
Pink, purple,
all
black,
from
brown.
All the,
all from
the
excessively friendly salespeople at Women's Wear. Women with a Y, thank you very much.
Of course.
little hairy goddess pits.
A reusable canvas bag full of dildos sticking out like baguettes is my new favorite thing.
That's the most commercial drive image that has ever existed.
It's very true.
Jesus fuck.
So how, yeah, so I'm like Main Street gay, not commercial drive gay.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
So I'm like hipster
I'm like
gay.
Cool gay.
Yeah,
not
well,
like,
or like you know, like I'm like.
Let's talk to you after you've had a kid or two.
I was
going to
say, you're co-parenting cats and not babies yet. So
well,
commercial drive is when the co-parenting
give her
babies.
A second.
Less than a month until my first fertility clinic appointment.
That's
sorry,
very
that's very exciting.
Exciting.
I'm also, by the excessive amount of wine that I'm drinking, you wouldn't know that I'm also trying to have children.
Oh, cool.
I'm doing it the old-fashioned way, where I just get drunk and it happens.
I wish.
I know.
Such privilege.
I know. It really is. It's stupid.
Too easy.
I'm not straight, but I am with a man, and so we just are able to just be like, whatever, let's just be reckless and have a child.
And then just accidentally.
I've sort of nervously slipped into, like, soliciting sperm on stage, like, where I'm like...
Give me some, please!
Like, I'm like, it's so expensive, you don't understand. Like, if you've got any spare, but also I don't want to pay for it, so thank you. And also I don't want anything to do with you or... Whatever.
If you want to just give me like a nice clean salsa jar full of your baby batter, we'll be on our way.
And please never talk to me again.
Yeah,
ideally.
Exactly. Yeah.
Great.
But also like,
how much does sperm actually cost? I thought it was less than that.
Well, it's not just the sperm.
You have
it's
to do
the
UIU
process.
Or whatever to put it up in there. You
so,
can't just like take it and go, all right, whoop. Yeah.
That's not what my sex ed classes in high school led me to believe. It was on your knee you would get pregnant because they can travel.
Yeah, weirdly,
very tenacious.
It's only when you're trying to get pregnant that
it's
apparently
super
you learn
hard.
That it's really challenging. So basically, we're looking at, it'll be like, I think it'll probably be about $10,000 before we're done. At the luckiest, I have some friends who just gave up after $25,000 of not
God
getting pregnant.
Damn it.
Whoa.
That's heartbreaking.
With like, you know, they don't have any nice jobs or anything. Like they're just line of credit broke on not
that
getting a kid.
That is very depressing.
Yeah, it's tough. It's one of those things where I mean. You know, like, I feel, you know, other than the kind of slow-burning trauma of, like, growing up sort of repressing your essential self, mostly I feel like being gay is, like, a huge blessing, and it's been, like, the best thing in my life, and, like, it's brought all the best people to me, and it's been, like, I wouldn't want to have life any other way. It feels like a cool part of my life, But it just, it, yeah, it sucks to encounter one of the parts where it's not
Here's
simple.
Like a pretty,
this is a
pretty
thing where
significant barrier. Yeah,
yeah. I was happy to learn that apparently we can claim fertility treatments on our taxes. I didn't know. I think they should be totally covered, but like at least being able to not have to pay taxes on the you know, because basically I think if you're just sort of doing the like medical version of turkey basting, it's like $1,000 a pop. And then if you go IVF, it's like more like 10 grand. But I'm at the age and have the health background where I'm not entirely sure I'll be eligible for IVF. And so we're just going to try just kind of...
That's super, super intense. And it's your body that's going to be doing that. Hey,
so you want to put the baby in you?
Well, no, we're going to take turns. So we're going to, I'm just older. So we're going to just go with me first. And I'm into it. Like I want to do it. I want to both.
Let's ruin this babe body with the baby. Let's go.
Yeah. It's like, I actually have a really weird tattoo on my chest and I want to see what happens when my body, like when my stomach expands.
You have a tattoo on your chest?
On my stomach.
Oh, you said chest.
Yeah, whatever. Chest, body,
chest
stomach,
will expand.
Whatever.
Too, I guess.
It's all good.
It's all part of the thing. Yeah. I definitely had a thing where I was just like, I looked at myself in the mirror one day. I'm like, I already look like I've had 3 kids, and so like, why the fuck would I worry about it? Like, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. I'm not trying to preserve anything.
Oh God,
here,
I grew like
except my peace and quiet.
I legitimately grew 10 new stretch marks in the last 3 months, and I've been like taking care of myself better than I have in ages. And I'm like, what the heck?
This is your 30s.
I don't care for it, my friends.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though. I do feel like, I mean, maybe this is the beauty of the 40s that are coming at me faster than I thought they would, but...
You don't look over 30.
I have a very young vibe, and that's because I'm dating someone who's not even 30. So,
yeah, you gotta absorb that, girl.
You and your partner have the exact same difference in age that me and my partner do, because my wife is 37 and I'm 32. And I just turned 32 and she'll be 38 this year, so we're like 5.5 years apart.
She's turning 30 this summer, and I just turned 36.
So that's pretty much exactly the same, I would say.
And so, but also, I mean, I have a kind of youthful energy.
Yeah.
I've been told, which is great for kids, I think. I was actually just thinking this morning. This is the cheesiest, but like, okay, so this is the first time.
I'm already crying.
Yes! So our kittens, I know I complained earlier that our kittens aren't very cuddly, but they are first thing in the morning, mostly because they're like, you're about to wake up and feed us, but like, they'll still be chill. Like they're not batting at us or anything. Yeah. So Gertie's cuddled up next to Robin. Robin's my partner. And then I'm cuddled up next to Robin. And then Archie's lying on me. And so we're all, and then I have my arm across and I can reach Gertie. So like, we're all in like a little cuddle bubble. And then for whatever reason, it occurred to me that like, I don't know, I keep having these moments where I'm like trying to anticipate the types of problems and challenges I'll have with my children. And like the thing of like, I don't know, just how do you not be patronizing? Like, how do you not laugh at them? Like, how do you not?
Oh, you can laugh at them.
Yeah,
trust me.
Like,
well, but Katie. You
know. My parents did it to me all the time and I turned out fine. people laugh at me for money now.
You get money, that's funny.
I do sometimes. I made like $500 last year.
Wow, look at you.
Oh, must be nice.
Yeah, I've made a grand total of $60 during stand-up in 3 years.
That's not bad. Most of the money came from my own show that pays me to host.
And I was thinking that it would be nice to, because it felt like we were in a little bubble, and then I was like, ooh, it would be nice to like, you know, if you have like a little kid that's like sad or something, and then you like hold them, like cuddle them like this, and then you're like, we're in a bubble. And then it's like, we're in a bubble and nothing matters outside of the bubble.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Then I was like, we're in a bubble. And Robin was like, don't burst the bubble.
Don't burst the bubble. Yeah. If you talk about the bubble doesn't exist.
I love
that's like the
really,
opposite of Fight Club.
I love other people's really babies. Nice. I can't wait to see you guys have babies and I can hold your babies.
I'm really looking forward to
it. I super
it,
don't want to have my own babies right now.
Yeah.
Times could change, but that's we've talked about this in the podcast for a bit. Mm-hmm. Like my wife and I were absolutely adamant we're gonna have children.
Mm-hmm.
Just furiously adamant before we got married. We were so sure we would. And then like less than a year after we got married, I was like, I don't think I want to have kids. She's like, oh my god, me neither.
Oh, cool.
So it's this beautiful moment
where
we just
it
like
worked out that way.
Changed at exactly the same moment. And it could go back. Who knows? But we, like the last couple weekends, we've just been having lay-ins together, which normally, like, I get up at 8:30 or 9 or whatever and just go about my day, and I've just been lately just, because she'll sleep till 11 or 12 because she's trans and on, like, puberty hormones, so she's just, like, a teen girl.
Also, my partner, who's not trans, but, like, also could sleep the entire day.
Yeah, easily. Like, we went to bed at 1 last night, and she was still definitely ready to still be asleep at 11 today. Yeah. So I was like, well, I guess we're just chilling.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I want there to be a baby in here who has needs and stuff, because I already take care of her and myself and our pets and stuff. I know I really want to take care of anybody else, but then I'm like... I'll just babysit everybody's sweet, sweet babies. Mm-hmm. And then not talk to them for the whole time that they are 2 till 5 and then be their friend again.
Yeah.
Like, you don't remember me, but I held you a lot when you were a baby and I didn't want to spend time with you when you were a toddler.
We'll,
so
we'll take
you.
A lot of pictures to prove it.
Yeah,
and then just
you
might
remember me from sniffing your head.
You might remember me from that's before me. You were verbal, and now that you have some sort of analytical reasoning skills, I'm back.
That's kind of me as an auntie. It's not the best, but... Yeah, I didn't say this on the last podcast, but I've finally been diagnosed with PCOS.
Oh, yeah. You self-diagnosed and you knew that you had
it. I self-diagnosed, like, 15 years ago and was like, hey, doctors, you need to do something about this. Polycystic ovarian syndrome for the home listener.
I was like, homeless? What?
For the homeless listener.
Polycystic ovarian syndrome for the homeless. That's a terrible campaign promise.
Just give it to them. I don't think you can.
No, you can't. No. And so I finally, like, the thing that pisses me off right now is that I finally am just like, oh, I would like to have kids. And they're like, oh, we're going to take you seriously now and try to fix what's wrong with you.
Oh,
kind
my
of
God.
Is how I feel about it.
Yeah,
because I was like,
system.
I've been having super irregular periods all the time. And I'm like, well, I guess that's just how you are and it's fine. And then I finally got into, like, a specialist who, like, I felt very, like, very seen by and very hurt by. And my doctor had said, like, oh, your ultrasound looks fine, your hormone levels look totally fine. And then this doctor was like, well, I read them, and I'm actually a specialist, and they're not fine, and here's what you have. And I'm like, thank you! Because amazing. Finally she fucking saw the
I've
pattern.
Heard that so many times that it takes people years to get the diagnosis that
they're
sure
my,
of.
I wrote my fourth year women's studies health paper on PCOS and my own experience and, like, trying to get diagnosed and not being able to, and that was, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, it's definitely a thing, and so they were like, oh, yeah, like, I see that the patterns on your ovaries, I see, like, the string of pearls thing where all the eggs that are, like, trying to come out so bad and they just can't do it, and she was like, yeah, you left it untreated for a really long time, so now we see the pattern. I'm like,
I didn't leave it untreated.
I didn't leave it untreated. I was fucking screaming about it to get diagnosed, and then nobody would take it seriously. And she's like, well, it's kind of good because now we can see it unequivocally, so maybe it's okay, except it's been going on for a long time, so your body's going to have a really hard time readjusting. I'm like, God damn it.
Do you have to have surgery?
No, I have to just, I'm going to start taking the metformin. Which is like
a clotting drug or something?
It's a diabetes drug. It's about, like, because insulin and estrogen have, like, a very symbiotic relationship in our body. So I'm going to start taking that after the election is over.
Do you have, like, a sort of insulin resistance or something?
Apparently. Okay, and diabetes runs in my family pretty hardcore, my mom and my aunt.
So you want to get on that as quickly as
totally
possible.
Totally do.
Yeah,
and so, yeah, so then you get on that drug. And so she's basically going to be like, here's how it's going to affect your body, like... basically chart and do all the things that you're already doing around, like, taking your temperature every day and doing the, like, pregnancy charting shit.
So you'll have to do that.
I will, yeah.
And I was like, I know how to chart. And she's like, shush. Just write it down on a piece of paper and then you do my chart. My chart's the best. I'm like, I like you. I like your authority. Like, she really,
she heard you but also was like, do it my way, please.
Yeah, because she was like, I'm literally an expert in this and I need you to just do what I say. And I'm like, okay,
it.
Yes, thank you.
Like, yes,
okay,
Daddy.
Okay, Dr. Daddy. That's exactly where I was going.
Dr. Gupta, she was so nice.
Dr. Gupta, Gupta
and
Daddy.
She was so nice because I had a bad experience with my doctor that was just like, you're basically too fat to get pregnant.
But you're
not!
I'm worried
about that,
like,
too.
Massively fat people get pregnant all the time.
I know. And it's just, everyone's body just does a different thing. And so the way that this doctor explained it to me, and she explained that she has an Ayurvedic background, she's from India, and it's just like, your body is out of balance right now with the way that it needs to be, so you need to figure out ways to get your body back in balance. Mm. And it's not about how you look, and it's just about how you feel, so do whatever you can to get your body back in balance. What are the things that you like to do that make you feel good. And we made a little list.
Cool. This is the right kind of doctor.
It was very nice. Because I got, like, immediately defensive. I'm like, I did my thesis on weight bias.
Nice.
And she was like, cool, good story. However, that's not what I'm talking about. It was so good. I loved it. Nice. She put me in my place, and I really appreciated that.
Nice. Yeah.
So, this is an interesting
It's nice to encounter someone with expertise who knows how to share that with you in a way that isn't patronizing or demoralizing.
I guess that's, like, the thing about dealing with toddlers, right? Like, well, not that you're a toddler, darling. Not that you are.
I'm a toddler in my learning about my own self, honestly. Yeah. Like, you're like, fair.
No, I do it.
Yes.
Me do it.
We've talked about this. I am a stubborn asshole about my own body. Don't tell me what to do. So I need someone to, like, override that system and, like, really tell me. And it's like, and she said to me, she's like, literally nobody does this unless their doctor tells them to. So I'm She didn't say fuck, but she totally implied fuck.
You fucking do this.
I'm fucking telling you what to do right now, so do it. And I was like, I'll do it after the election. Is that okay? She's like, if you get a period between now and the election, I'll be surprised. And if you do get a period, you make an appointment, you come see me. But if not, I'll see you after the election. I was like, thanks, Dr. Gupta.
Thanks, Dr. Gupta.
So, cool, so far nothing. So I'm drinking all the wine. I'm going to just be a shit for another couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, sorry, this all just got right back to me.
Well,
let me turn it back to me.
Please. Please. I was going to try to do it deftly, you're better for this.
I can just take it. So I've got an appointment on Tuesday where they're going to inject the dye into my cervix and do the x-ray.
Interesting.
See if all your bits and stuff are working.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I think, I don't know what it is. I guess it's some kind of weird dye, and then they x-ray it, and I guess they just sort of see how, like, the rain falls down my uterus or something. Okay. I don't know.
That sounds very Toto.
How does the rain down in your lady cave?
Urethra. No, that's not the right one.
It's gonna take a lifetime to put a baby in you.
There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do.
They can't get at you because you're lesbian.
Oh, God.
I'm basically Weird Al. So you're getting crazy dye in your business.
Up my hoo-ha, yeah, on Tuesday.
Up in the biz.
Oh, my God.
And
it's going to be a good Tuesday for you.
And then there's the election, and then there's Doxa, and then I go to the fertility clinic, and then we sort of sort it all out.
Interesting.
And then we're going on a holiday.
Yeah. Which just should. Go have a nice relaxation and see what happens.
Then try to shoot a baby up in there.
Yeah. Wow.
That's really cool.
I feel like we know so many guys that could just, like, give sperm, but it would be bad sperm.
I don't know. I mean...
You don't want comedian sperm.
Well, but I mean, who's donating sperm? Like, it's also comics, probably. Like,
I think you could grab a baby that looks exactly like Jeremy Haas or something. You're like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
There's no confusing.
I mean, Robin and I are kind of bummed that, like, you know, I don't know. If you're going to poop a baby out, you kind of want it to look a little bit like you, I guess. And so it's a little bit of a bummer that we can't make one that looks
like both of you.
Like both of us.
Cameron Esposito and Rhea Butcher have a joke that Cameron was like, the only time I used Snapchat, I did the face swap and I put my wife's face on it and then I cried because it was the baby we couldn't have.
Oh my God. I feel like if Rhea tries really hard, she can manufacture sperm. She's got that, like, Akron, Ohio, like, fucking industriousness.
The baby's gonna come out wearing a, like, a Dockers, like, jacket.
It's gonna come out in chambray. In a chambray onesie.
That's what it should be.
A chambray onesie.
I feel like my
that's a drag queen.
Oh my God. So I got my hair cut, and my hairstylist is obviously gay. Like, he's a beautiful, he's a gorgeous, gorgeous, beautiful gay man that I love very dearly. Like, he's been cutting my hair for 3 years, and I just, like, now I'm in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very pure. It's not like, oh my God, you know, it's just like, we share life when I come in and sit down for an hour and a bit. Anyway.
I think I hate you more for the second thing.
Sorry. Yeah, no, that was meant to be a joke. But it really did come out sounding kind of sincere, so let's just make it clear that I'm not that precious. But I do love Jeffrey. He's the shit. Jeffrey Klassen, that's my hairstylist. And he was telling me about his friend who had a dream about renaming his own drag character.
Mm.
And it's like, I woke up and I realized that my new name had to be Cashmere Eclipse. I was like, I like that name Very much. And Jeffrey was like, yeah, it fits too, because he cries a lot.
Oh my God.
Sad. He's a sad guy. So like, oh, Cashmere Eclipse, it does sound like a long drag on a cigarette and lounging on a grand piano. Like, mm-hmm.
I see marabou feathers on slippers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The hem of a robe as well.
It's definitely a chaise longue involved.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's like, oh, it is very hard to live here in Casablanca. You know, like that kind of thing. Like, you know, my cashmere eclipse. Why is it suddenly German? I was going for French.
Yeah, because cashmere eclipse is like when you get like a big hug with like a, so, some kind of a pashmina, like a cashmere like a, pashmina, like a and they just envelop you.
Auntie.
Yes.
I do really like it. It was like, it came to him in a dream. And I was like, that was that. That's my take-home point.
And then when you come out of, like, the big pashmina hug, you're covered in, like, big lipstick marks. And it's like, where did they come from? There was only one person there, but I have 17 shades of lipstick.
Oh, my God. That makes me really think about a great... So that was the other thing I talked about with Jeffrey. Was like, I miss doing drag, because I used to do drag king stuff, like, and that was your fault, by the way, Chris, in 2007.
I did it
2006,
once.
2007. No, we did it. You did it twice, because you did it again with me. We did a Blues Brothers routine together. It was pretty good, honestly.
I've done it twice, but it wasn't king. So for me, like, my normal sort of presentation is, like, slightly masculine, and so, and I really love, like, sort of gender fuck drag, mm-hmm. So I did... Yeah. Like, and every time I wear makeup, I feel like I'm in drag. So yes. For me, I just went hyper feminine with both of my drag performances.
Oh, sure.
Nice.
Yeah, but my drag name was an abridged version of my actual name, which is Jax Hoff.
That's
nice.
Perfect.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's much appreciation for that.
Perfect. I really love that. But that was the other thing that he said is like,
so
like, yeah,
so
there's still drag queens, but it's less of like a binary thing. Like there's not so much drag queens and drag kings anymore. There's now drag things is a thing that's become a thing. There's people who do just totally non-binary drag characters. And I'm thinking like being covered in like 17 different lipstick kisses is a great aspect to a beautiful mustache and like glitter eye, like to look like you're a member of the band Power Bottom or something is really I think what the vibe is, which I'm pretty down for.
Cool.
Honestly,
let's do it.
I had to give up I hung up my drag wig, I guess, when I like football helmet, I don't know. When I accidentally threw scissors into the audience.
Oh no!
And like actually did hit a person.
Oh dear.
Oh my God.
But like no one was really injured, but I was like, never doing that again.
Tell us about Jax Hawk. Can we speak to Jax now?
No, I mean,
inside the drag actor studio.
Yeah. So,
what was your character? Like what was the persona?
Yeah, so well it was basically purely unique performance based. So I was the same name both times, but it was a totally different person both times. And so, yeah, I know.
Pretty goddamn funny.
Thank you. It's like, that's where that needed to go, because that existed already in my life. And then I was like, that's my drag name.
Nice.
There it is.
I'm taking this and I'm reusing it for good.
Yeah. And so, I'm a part of the sort of extended family of SAD magazine. And so I used to be editor-in-chief, and then I did the podcast, and then now I host the comedy shows, and next one's June 23rd.
I know, I was going to say,
I'm on it.
Once you finish talking about this, I want to get all the plugs, because
we're starting to...
Wind down, et cetera.
But anyway, so we used to, for a long time, host shows that were fundraisers, mostly at the Cobalt, and a lot of them were drag shows. Mm-hmm. And
with Man Up and stuff? Or...
No, just nope, our own
just
shows,
own. Okay.
Yeah. And so there was a Missy Elliott night, and so
cool.
I did... like this character who... Because I wanted to be, like, not... trying to impersonate Missy Elliott. So
yes.
I did this whole thing where I was like, an astronaut that like morphed into a scientist that like morphed into, like kind of a Missy character in like a tracksuit sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I morphed into a bodysuit of a bodybuilder, which I then unpeeled to reveal, like, space drag. So, like, a like
so it was many layers.
Literal layers. It was, like, 5 layers.
You were so hot when you started.
Yeah, it was brutal. And I was wearing, like, a motorcycle helmet. And I had, like, choreographed dancers. Like, me and my friends, we went to, like, an actual dance class and, like, did a dance thing behind. Well, I couldn't remember the stuff, but luckily I could just, like, be moving really weirdly in the front. And
I'm in space!
Exactly. That's yeah. So cool. It was pretty fun. It was pretty cool. And then the second one, we hosted a kind of what's her name? Miley Cyrus versus Taylor Swift night. And so
Team Miley.
Yeah. Obviously Team Miley, but like at the time I was also like, I have some sort of weird appreciation for the song and video Blank Space. And so I did a Blank Space thing. So I did super intense like makeup. Like I hired a drag queen to do my makeup. And then I was reenacting certain parts of that video, which involves like cutting up pictures of someone, which is where the scissors came in and where I accidentally, because of all the adrenaline and then I was throwing things and then I accidentally threw the scissors. So
no, you didn't get anyone in a sensitive place.
No, the shoulder, but
hopefully the handle.
Yeah, no, it was the blade, but they weren't hurt apparently. They were like surprised and shocked and like freaked out, but not hurt. And I was like, I'm done.
Aww.
This is not a safe idea for me. Also, like, nobody was there pretty much. So it was sort of a like
put a lot of effort into it though.
There was, yeah. I was listening to Blank Space on repeat for like many, many days, which is not really a good idea.
I actually don't know that song. I thought it was Bad Blood. I was like thinking of the lyrics. I'm like, nope, that is a different Taylor Swift song.
I recommend all kind of sound the same. They do. They are essentially, but I recommend watching the video once.
I'm still thinking of Bad Blood. Honestly, I'm like, nope, still thinking about
same
it.
Same kind of vibe.
In my head the whole time, I was just, I know you were trouble when you walked in.
That's not it, yeah, no.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it's...
Now I'm lying on the cold hard.
It's the one where it sounds like she's saying,
I know it's the...
my Starbucks goes, lovers, but it's like, it's not...
Star-crossed lovers or something?
Yeah.
I got a Blank Space baby and I'll write your name.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift. Can eat my butt. I still stand by that.
Yeah.
I said it live on television.
I would let Taylor Swift eat my butt anytime.
I don't think she'd do it. She'd tie like a little napkin into her top.
I would
like,
still let her do it.
It's like silver fork and knife.
I would
like,
still let her do it. Butt. I would still let her do it. 100%.
Dust it with some truffle powder.
I would still totally let her do it. That would be delicious. That is a flavor profile.
It's not going to take away too much from, like, the natural flavors.
The truffles are very earthy.
Oh, God. Is this the time that we... Are we going to end on butt eating?
No, we can do... Plug your show.
Let's plug.
I'm sorry. Speaking
of plug. Butts, let's plug the show.
Let's butt plug your show.
Right.
There we go. That's it.
I'm just saying. I won't turn down.
Taylor Swift, hit me up.
Yeah. Honestly. Truffle oil if you want to get in there. I'm sure.
Oh, Lord.
Lord could also.
Lord could definitely.
Oh my God!
Wait, is she old enough yet?
Oh yeah. She's like 27 now.
No, 26. She was like 16.
I think she's like 26.
No, she's like an adult.
Something. Yeah,
I don't think she's that old.
Maybe I don't know.
She just looks like an old art teacher.
I adore
I'd give her.
Her
like a 25.
I would eat her butt. Just saying.
I'm just gonna make sure Lord is of age. So please plug your stuff, and I'll let you know if Lord is of age.
Okay,
or not.
I'm right. Pretty sure she is. It's fine.
So Sad Magazine is an actual magazine that we print on paper and people take pictures with cameras that have actual
that
film in them.
We sullied your
film cameras?
Yes, it's a film, it's an analog magazine.
Nice.
So sadmag.ca is where you can find everything about that. And that's where you'll find also the information. So I used to do the podcast, now Pam does it. There's a podcast called Sadcast.
Ooh,
Pam. Pamela Runis is the co-publisher, designer, and also now
podcast host,
mm-hmm. and also dear friend of mine who lives across the hall and who is also on my softball team.
Awesome.
Oh, and you're on a softball team. That's perfect.
But I'm not in the gay softball league because it's too intense.
You're in a regular softball
I'm in a
league
straight
that
softball
probably
league.
Has a lot of lesbians in it anyway.
Not that I know of.
Damn.
To be honest. It's on one of those ones that's like very like gender normative, and there's got to be like 4 girls on the field at all times. And
it's a mixed gender league.
Yeah. It's a beer league.
Oh,
basically.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's a fun.
It's just a Monday
night. Still very
league.
Gay that you play softball.
Thank you very much. You're I welcome. Agree. Yeah.
Lord is 20.
Oh,
that's okay. Very young.
She's 1996 is her birth.
Oh dear, she does not have to eat my butt. No. Wait a couple years.
Yeah.
I mean, she still totally could. Oh, God. You're all fired. It's springtime, guys. Exactly. I've got a spring in my step.
Just got the zest on your breast.
And I let a 60-year-old man play guitar on me with his long flung hands.
Feeling maybe it. Split the difference.
God, yeah. He probably wears those toe shoes.
He does not.
No, because he goes barefoot, Katie. God.
Sad
do we want to leave?
Sad Megan's
So the sad comedy show. So I host these shows like 2-3-ish times a year.
Okay.
And pretty much every time I do them. So for me, they're an opportunity to essentially just get stage time, which is
it's
why
good to run your own
show.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also it's like, because Sad Meg is just this like beautiful community almost of itself in a way, that pulls a lot of like cute, fun, like literary, cool, like arty type folks. Awesome. In. It's like a slightly different crowd than even some of my favorite shows in the stand-up world. And so it gives me a great chance to bring in all my favorite people from stand-up and show them to the other crowd. So
pollination.
So yeah, so the shows, so the first one I did, we had, let me just like brag.
Oh, do. Please. We constantly talk about comics that we like locally all the time.
So the first show I did, we had Alicia Tobin, Jane Stanton, yes. Andy Kahlstrom, Ben McGinnis, Ross Douk. Is that six? I think that's six. And then the second show was like a touch more literary. So we had like Billy Nickerson and Daniel Zamparelli, mm-hmm. and his partner Gabe Liebman. And
oh, they're together?
Yeah.
You had Gabe? Fuck, that's why I wanted to go, is because Gabe Liebman was on the show, and he's like one of the head writers for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is such
and
a
transparent,
big deal.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And he's Jenny Slate's best friend.
Fucking amazing.
And Jenny Slate's going to be in town for like 2 months to film a movie.
Connection, 6 degrees, 6 degrees. Yeah. Let's get Jenny Slate to get stoned with us and
I know, I can't wait. I will definitely start smoking again for that.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm pregnant. And, and
don't listen to this fertility
clinic.
So also
clinic. Charlie was on that show, and Fatima, and
that's so great.
My friend Rachel, who gave up comedy but did it, went back up for me because she's my friend and she's
yay.
Awesome. And now I'm going to feel bad if I've forgotten who else was on that show, but I think that's it. And then the most
everyone
recent one we did
awesome.
Was the one I mentioned before, which was Ivan and Sophie and Kitty Allen and Sanong and Maddie Vu and Ashley Furl. I fuck up her last name all the time because I feel like she changed it. For all, I think it is.
She goes by Ashley F on
Tumblr.
Or not Tumblr, on Facebook, so it's hard to remember her last name.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I know everybody is because I see their name written constantly on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's so helpful. My God.
I know. And so, yeah, so the next show, I haven't fully booked it yet, but right now we've got Sean Devlin, Katie Nordgren.
I love Sean. I love Katie. Obviously.
We've got Amber Harper Young.
She's great too. She
shout out.
She headlined our New Year's show. Yeah, excellent.
And Ava Julian.
The name's familiar.
And
Alan
Williams. And I think I'm gonna book one or two more folks.
Cool, and that's June 23.
Yeah, it's a Friday.
Nice.
And it's gonna be at Hive, which is
something.
Like across from the London Drugs on Hastings. It's like that workspace place. It's really nice.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Tickets are
the Hive.
Each,
the,
two
like,
for 15.
Cool.
That'll be easy for you if you want to come.
Yeah.
If I'm not in Scotland.
If you're not in Scotland.
Well, bloody fucking
there's
duh.
Apparently some plans that my mother has to go traveling, and I might have to join her. So.
La, très chic. Well, that would be a perfectly reasonable excuse to not be here.
I know, but I want to come to your show.
Yeah.
Our past guest, Allison, is like, you're not going at this week of June, right? Because that's my birthday, so I have to plan my trip around that. Which
around someone's birthday.
Katie, I ask people to do that. My birthday's Christmas, and I ask people to book their trips home to see their families around my birthday.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
I think it's totally fair for me to also do that.
I think that's totally reasonable.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have other shows to plug, or...?
I mean, this weekend I'm doing both the Pizza Basement, I'm doing Goldies, and the XY show.
Delicious
at
Pizza Basement.
What's it called? Yeah, XY. The
it's
gay
a
show.
Great show.
It's a fun show,
it's
yeah.
Really
that's on
show.
Saturday night?
Yeah.
They offered me a spot, and I was just like, no thanks. I don't know why I said no. That was so stupid. I should have said
that
yes.
That is actually
say,
super stupid.
Well, you might
stupid.
Have said no because they were trying to do ASL you have to like transcribe your set so that because they had an ASL interpreter around the
right.
last show, which was great,
yeah.
but you had to like really stick to your set,
well,
kind
that,
of.
Just watching someone do side badge for you was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I heard about that.
It was so, that was Jackie's bit.
Yes,
and it was just like,
Side batch.
I had
side
to batch. Not ignore
side
her.
Batch. Yeah, oh, that's so perfect. It's amazing. And I just want to, I'm on at the Havana at 10:30 on Friday, 28th, April 28th. I'm going to be doing the Reasonably Late show, which has improv in it. So I don't know how good it's going to be because I'm kind of bad at improv, but I'm also very good at stand-up. So it should be fun. Are you coming?
Yes, obviously, because I work right there. So,
oh, good. And it's late. It's at 10:30, so it's only going to go till like, I don't know,
maybe midnight. I'll make it. I don't know.
I won't hold it against you if you don't, but so if people want to come,
show
great.
Up probably drunk.
Great. Perfect. That's how you should be. I probably will be a little bit as well.
I'm going to be doing the Say What show on May 2nd, which I've never done before, and I've never done it before on purpose, which is because I always thought... So I've done many, many teen angst shows, Sarah Bynoe's Empire Comedy Empire.
I took my friend Empire, Nicole, who is a frequent listener of the show, I took her to a Sarah Bynoe teen angst show, and it was so fun.
But I always felt like the idea for Say What, which is like, you read someone's book and it's hilarious or whatever, I was like, oh, that's like too mean. Like, I was like, I don't get it. Someone's published something and you make fun of it, but I think the idea is to like, call out like bullshit writing and like, not writing, but like, material or stuff that's
how
like actually
the fuck
garbage.
Did this actually get published?
Yeah. So I'm
like
probably
men going their own way.
I'm probably going to read selections from an actual book I had as a child called "It's Okay to Say No to Drugs." Because it's pretty funny.
Is it okay to say yes to them though?
I mean, in like that's the part. That's the.
Am I allowed to say yes to drugs, Jackie?
You certainly are.
Great.
Suit yourself.
That's all we needed. We invited you on to get permission.
Now that I have permission to do drugs, I can go. Bye, guys. See you next time on the Sea Hags podcast.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.